Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is a special bonus episode of Checking the Inbox Overflow. Our inbox was overflowing with questions from you all, so we had to do this special bonus episode so we could answer more questions. We love answering your questions, but they didn't fit into our episode where we did Checking the Inbox. So
that's right.
Here we are.
Yes, we love answering your questions and wanted to get to as many as possible. So Laura, why don't we just jump right in? What is our first question?
Okay, so this one actually doesn't apply to me, so I'm going to ask it for you.
Okay.
The question is from someone named Laura. I didn't ask this one, I promise. She asks, can you share a list of names you each considered for your kids but didn't choose? And obviously, I can't answer this because all of mine are still in play. Mm-hmm. So, because I'm having another boy. So, I can't answer this question. I'm sorry.
Well, did you ever have any, when before you knew it was a boy, were you ever throwing around any girls' names just on the off chance?
Not really, because we found out so early with both of them. Mm-hmm. We did the NIPT at like 9 weeks. So, you know, and before you get that, you know, you're still in your first trimester. I don't know about other people. I'm like trying to be realistic and worried about miscarriage and all that stuff. So I wasn't about to even start thinking of names at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I have no girl lists.
Very interesting. I have to say, I'm such a name nerd. I was the person that, like, the entire time I was even trying to conceive, like, the names thing got me so excited. I would visit all the name sites and, like, make lists, and I had boys' names and girls' names, and I was just like, oh, I can't wait to have a baby and name it. And then, like, as soon as, of course, I had a real baby to name, like, became very, very difficult.
Okay, but do you have, like, a leftover list?
I do, and I will share it with you. I have to navigate to nameberry.com, which is where I really collected my list of names.
It's a very fun site.
Oh, yeah. I love Nameberry. That's where I did most of my name research. I really like it, and you can make lists of your favorites and heart names that you like, etc. So, oh, I feel nervous. Like, this is such personal information, Laura. I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody.
I've never actually heard it either, because we didn't learn your kid, you know, obviously our listeners don't know our kids' real names, but like, I didn't know the names you picked until after they were born.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I will tell you that the top contender, this was a possibility for both of my girls. So we went into the hospital with two names for my first, for Elle, and two names for the second, Cece. And that name was Isla. I really, really love that name. The one, it's spelled I-S-L-A. I know it's also spelled other ways, but I love that name. I think it sounds so pretty, and I had some great middle names to go with it, but I'm not going to share the middle name combo I had because that middle name actually ended up being Cece's first name.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Okay.
Yes, yes. So Isla, I really love that. But here are some others that I see on my list. This is in no particular order because I don't remember how much I loved them at the time. I really like Juniper. I thought that was a really cute name.
I love that name. Yeah, I like Juniper.
It's so cute. But it was hard for me to pick that one because our last name starts with ER. So Shauna Michael's my maiden name, but my married last name is Jaeger. So Juniper, Jaeger. I'm very...
Yeah, I guess that I can say that there was a name I liked that I can't use, and that's Everett, because my husband's last name is Evett, so it would be Everett Evett, and that just doesn't work. It just doesn't work, guys.
No, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. Another one I liked for a long time was Emmeline, E-M-M-E-L-I-N-E. It's like kind of like Emily, but a little bit different. I thought that was really cute. Another one I had on my list, which didn't show up on a lot of name lists. I don't know if I made it up or what, but was Vienne, V-I-E-N-N-E.
Okay.
Vienne. Thought that would have been pretty. I liked Simone. That was on my list. And I have a whole bunch. I don't want to read all of them because I don't want to put anyone to sleep.
Let's hear two more.
Okay, two more. Scarlet. I really like Scarlet.
Yeah.
I like names that are colors because I'm so obsessed with colors and bright colors. I really, really liked that one. That one got nixed by Steve. Actually, almost all of these got nixed by Steve. And another one that was on my list, this one I don't know that we would have actually gone with, but I thought the name Zella was really cool. Z-E-L-L-A.
Ooh, Zella. Very edgy.
Zella Jaeger. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. You still got embryos.
I do. Little Scarlet. Oh, my God.
Although, aren't they almost all boys?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There's only one girl.
I can pass my list on to you if you decide to thaw those out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do. Thank you. All right. Good. That was a fun one.
That is fun.
All right, Laura. Next question. This one's for you. This is from Allison. She says, this one's for Laura. Are you going to rent a snoo again for the new baby? I'm trying to decide if it's worth it.
Ooh, good question. For those of you who don't remember or don't know, the snoo is this like special, fancy, pretty expensive robotic crib. Mm-hmm. I'm really making, bassinet. Really selling it. It's a bassinet. Yes. Sorry. A smart bassinet that shimmies and plays white noise. And if your baby starts crying, it shimmies faster and it tries to soothe your baby back to sleep. It was created by Harvey Karp, who is the author, pediatrician and author of The Happiest Baby on the Block. And we both had it for our, you had it for Cece and I had it for my now toddler and freaking loved the thing. It saved my life. So, but to answer your question, no, I'm not going to rent it.
What?
Because I already bought one. On Black Friday, I took advantage of their 25% off sale and I bought one and I've decided I'm going to try to resell it because it's kind of a wash. Like they have decent resale value. And so the renting, if I use it for like 4 to 5 months like I did last time, it'd be a wash with reselling it. So I thought, you know, better to buy it and then I can like have it, you know, because the renting, the thing about the renting is I was nervous that like if the baby comes early, you don't have it when you get home from the hospital. And so I actually like I have it coming really soon. It's coming soon.
Yes. Good, 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 good. Yes. How exciting. So you would tell Allison that it's worth it and then maybe she should go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was absolutely worth it for me. I do think that if you are a first-time mom, maybe renting it is not a bad idea because it doesn't work for all babies. So it's a much lower bar to, you know, rent it for 1 month as opposed to, and then realize it doesn't work for your kid or whatever, or you just don't like it, or you end up bed sharing or whatever it and you know, ends up happening. But for me, like, I'm pretty certain that I'm going to stick with it. So yeah, for sure. I love it.
Awesome.
Okay. This is a question for you, Shauna. This is from Megan. She asks if you have any best tips for going from 1 to 2 kids.
Ooh.
Maybe I did write, did I write this one in and pretend to be Megan?
Because you want to know all the tips.
I need to know.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Oh, that is a very good question. I've really got to put myself back a couple years into when I was in that particular situation. And in hindsight, I would say one tip is to really get your partner, if you have one, get your partner on board with how you guys are going to kind of tag team this big change. Because obviously, there's so much in the beginning that's going to be extremely overwhelming, you know, taking care of the newborn, the nursing, the being, if you're nursing, being up with the baby all night, what to do with the older child, etc. And because you have the experience of having had one child, you might already have an idea of where and when you might need that help. So I think that you can really even make a game plan, even if it's going to be, even if it's not going to be set in stone, you can kind of have an idea like at some point, I'm really going to need you to do a bottle in the middle of the night, or at some point, I'm going to need you to be on toddler duty all the time. Because based on my experience last time, I'm going to be exhausted and with a newborn constantly.
Those are good tips. So like pre-plan?
Yeah, pre-plan if you can. And I think that another tip would be to have confidence that your older child will be able to weather this change. I think that's a big sticking point for some parents. They're really worried of how it's going to change the older child, how it's going to change your relationship with the older child. And having been through it, it's like, yes, it's something that they have to weather and you do that with them, but they come out fine, at least in my experience. You know, they can do it. They're resilient enough to do it. And so expect that it's going to be a positive experience and that they can handle it. And even if it's tough, you know, they'll make it through and they'll grow from that experience, even if they're really young.
Those are great tips. And yeah, I need to implement them. It's good to hear, too, because I am really worried about how my guy's going to take it, mm-hmm. you know, because we have such a great relationship. And I feel like he's very, you know, he has his tantrums and stuff, but like so far we're doing so well with like the emotional, you know, availability and just like a, you know, a good kid. And I'm worried that he's mm-hmm. gonna, you know, rebel and he's mm-hmm. gonna feel left out and all that stuff. So,
well, that was the second part of this advice.
Okay.
Is that you can't expect it to also go super peachy all the time.
Okay.
I really learned that lesson that, you know, I was like, I had stars in my eyes because I brought that baby home the first day and Elle was like, oh my God, sweet baby, and was so gentle with her. And it was just amazing and beautiful. And I thought, oh, well, this is going to go perfectly. And, you know, it's not a surprise that that kind of thing is going to go through phases too. She did experience some jealousy. She was at times too rough with the baby. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff that we had to deal with, and just being prepared for that and maybe even thinking ahead of time how you're going to handle it, what approach you're going to use. Think about what approach you might have or what strategy you might take when you experience that situation. And then along the same lines, prepare your toddler or older kid for the new baby. There's tons of books out there about becoming a new big brother, a big sister, etc. One that I really loved was called My New Baby by Rachel Fuller. And I liked that one. It was very simple and cute, but it included some illustrations of mom and baby doing some things that other books didn't include. Like, I really loved that it had a page where the mom was breastfeeding the baby. Mm. If that's something you're planning on doing and your older child isn't used to seeing, I thought that was really helpful because, you know, Elle hadn't breastfed since she was 6 months old. She didn't know what that was. And so now here was a picture and image of that. Like, that's what's going to happen. Mommy's going to feed baby, right? This is my situation. I know not everyone's in that similar situation, but that's what my plan was. And so I liked being able to expose her to that idea in a really cute, simple, age-appropriate way. So find that book or other books and really prepare your child for the birth of the new baby.
We have that book too, actually. I just got it. And it's mm-hmm. I really like that it shows the breastfeeding. But also for us, it's different because my guy is still nursing once a day. And so
yeah.
It gives us a chance to talk about how like the baby's going to need first priority. Like the baby can only breastfeed. You get to eat sandwiches and apples and pizza and all this stuff. And the baby only gets boo-boo time. We call it boo-boo time. So, right.
So yeah, those are my tips. I have a question for you,
ooh,
which is
okay.
Kind of along the same lines. This is from Brianna. She says, what items do you need for a second child when your oldest is a toddler? You are in this situation right now preparing a registry, I believe. So give us some insight.
Yeah. So I had to. I guess I didn't have to, but I started putting together a really small registry for a virtual sprinkle that you are organizing for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was kind of hard to figure out what to put on the registry because it was like, you have all of the big items for the most part. So I was kind of thinking along the lines of like, what's the things that you kind of need new items of? So like, mm-hmm. I wanted to get some more burp cloths because they get kind of gross. And, you know, I think at some point just started using the burp cloths for like washing my own face at night. So like I need new burp cloths. I registered for like new sets of like pump parts because you want to replace those anyway every 6 months or something, so the plastic could degrade and it could not work as well. So I got like a, you know, new flanges and duckbill valves and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I registered for more bottle nipples because those things kind of degrade, you know.
Mm-hmm. One thing I registered for were new towels and washcloths for my baby. I don't know if you did too.
Oh yeah, I did that too. I registered for more wipes and more diapers and more nipple cream, you know, that stuff, the like consumable stuff, the stuff that you need more
mm-hmm.
of. And then one thing I did just realize I needed to add was another mirror for my car so I could see the baby because both my kids are going to be rear facing still.
Oh, right.
So mm-hmm. I need a mirror on the other side. And then one thing I got that I didn't register for, but I was given as a hand-me-down, which is super handy, is like a thing you attach to a stroller, like a little platform that becomes like a little ride-on platform for your toddler. So that instead of having like a double stroller, you can have like the toddler stand, you know, between you and the actual stroller on this platform and ride along. So, which is pretty fun. I hope it'll be fun for him.
Such a good idea.
Yeah. And I got that from a friend as a hand-me-down. So yeah, so that's one of the cool things I didn't like think about. Because my toddler, he's over strollers. Like we don't use strollers anymore, basically at all. So, and I know they make those also if your kid's really into like biking, they make like bicycle seat ones too you can get.
What? Oh, yeah. Cool. That's really cool.
But so yeah, that's what I have. I'd love to hear any additional tips because I'm forgetting, like it's so long ago. But I don't need much. That's what's really nice about number two. If you didn't get rid of all your stuff from number one, like just reuse it.
Yep. It's so nice. All the swaddles, the clothes, all that stuff you can reuse.
Yeah. So great. So anywho, should we take a quick break and then come back with more questions?
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we are back, so we've got more questions from y'all. Let's dive right in. Shauna, this one is from Bethany. She says, breastfeeding is hard. Any tips to make it easier?
Oh, it is hard. Holy crap. I'm bringing myself back a couple years when I was breastfeeding Cece, and I had trouble with Elle too. It was not a breeze. And I would say the number one thing that helped me was going to a lactation support group. Mm-hmm. I loved doing that. Every week at the same time, I would go, and there were lactation consultants there who would help. And the best thing about it was I was able to weigh Cece before and after the feeding. Mm-hmm. So I could see if she was actually taking in milk. And that helped calm me down a lot, because one of my struggles with breastfeeding was like, oh my God, am I even making milk? Is she getting enough? I have no idea.
Yeah, I know that the family room where I did my mommy and me classes, they have those. They have like breastfeeding support groups, and I actually snuck in and like used their scale once from my mommy and me class. But, you know, right now with COVID, a lot of them are virtual. So you can actually get yourself a baby scale. You can even rent them, I think, if you need to actually see how much they're consuming, right? Because it's so hard to know.
Yes. It's really hard to know. And if you're not making enough, then you can work with the lactation consultant to help figure out what's going wrong. I got help from a lactation consultant on the latch of Elle, right? When I was first breastfeeding her, apparently she wasn't latching correctly. So it was hurting a lot. I was in a lot of pain and she wasn't quite getting enough milk. And we worked together and fixed that. So that was really great. And I wonder, Laura, do you think there are lactation consultants doing virtual sessions right now with COVID?
I know there are. Know there are. The family rooms consultant, Jessica Clare, who we had on the show, she's doing virtual consults, and I'm sure there's all over people are doing them. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to hold your phone up probably at a weird angle, but it's better than nothing.
Like, here's my boob.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally better than nothing. Another thing that was really helpful for me was pumping, you know, occasionally. So I would have milk in a bottle to give to Steve so I could take a break from nursing and just like give the baby a bottle and I'm just going to take a break. I know it's still like effort on your boobs and stuff, but you don't have to worry about the latch and the this and the that and everything. You just pump a little bit. Someone else gives a bottle. I really like that. And then, of course, it's always fine to give your baby formula. If it's just too painful, you need a break, give a bottle of formula. It doesn't have to be pumped milk. I did that occasionally and the baby's fine. So those are my tips.
Yeah. And I had a very different journey from you. I mean, you called me like the breastfeeding unicorn. You know, I never had supply problems. I never had pain problems. And I'm so grateful for all of that. And I'm still nursing, 2 years later. So remains to be seen what happens with this new baby. But I have to say that even so, it is hard, because even if you don't have the physical pain or the supply problems, it's a lot of time.
So much time.
A lot of time. And it shouldn't be discounted. I feel like something someone told me at the beginning, I remember being like, well, you know, breastfeeding is cheaper. And she said to me, yeah, only if your time isn't valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. Like when I was working, I was charging a lot per hour for my
True.
Time.
Yes.
So just having that mindset of like, it's hard and you're doing something amazing and do what you can to make it easier on yourself. Like whatever, you know, whether it's like Shauna said, supplementing with formula or pumping and so that your, you know, partner or someone else can give a bottle so you can rest, all of those things, mm-hmm. I think can definitely help. And yeah, but I think the number one tip is like cut yourself some slack. Don't you
think?
Cut
yourself some slack.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And commiserate with other people mm-hmm. you know who are breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I had you to commiserate with. Well, you weren't in the same situation, but I at least like was able to talk about it and normalize the fact that it's trying because mm-hmm. if you're only surrounded by people who make it look easy or the media or I don't know, everyone who makes it look easy, you kind of feel like you're failing. And that's not the case. It can be tricky and you can stick with it or you cannot. It's totally up to you.
Yeah. And one other thing is I say follow Legendary Milk on Instagram. That's a legendary with D-A-I-R-Y, like dairy, like milk, right? Legendary mm-hmm. Milk on mm-hmm. Instagram. They are always posting really, really interesting breastfeeding and pumping tips. And yeah, they're trying to sell you their supplements, but I never bought a single one of their supplements, but I did find their information super, super helpful. So
awesome.
That's a concrete tip.
Yes. I love it. That's great. All right. Next question. This is from Hannah. Hannah says, Laura, where is the second baby going? Are you moving or will they share a room? I want to know this too.
I don't know. Well, I know. I mean, I know for the first few months, the baby will be room sharing with me and Corey. It's like, you know, he's going to be in the snoo right next to us like my first was. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know. We have not made any progress with moving.
Oh, okay.
And that takes a while. And we don't have a, you know, I didn't wake up to discover 1,000 extra square feet on my house. So yeah, I have no idea. Like we're either going to move or they're gonna have to room share.
Or you and Corey can stay in the ADU in the back and the boys can just take over the house.
Honestly, it has literally crossed my mind. Like we can just stay in the back. I don't think that's safe. Like technically we'd be in a different structure. But I have been like it did occur to me. I was like, maybe we should just sleep in the guest unit. Like they can have the house. Oh man. I actually did consider, I told Corey, I was like, should we move into the nursery, which is smaller, and like give the boys our master because it's bigger and they can be further apart from each other? And he was mm-hmm. like, No.
Hard no. If they're going to be in the same room, the vicinity of how close they are is probably not going to matter. I think I'm on Team Corey with this one.
But, you know, in our room, we could put like the futon and both cribs, which we couldn't do. You know, the futon's really nice for like getting them dressed before bedtime and all that stuff. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hannah. I don't know. Okay, I don't know yet. And it's stressing me out.
Keep us updated on that.
I will. Okay, next question is from Sasha. She says, what is your favorite and least favorite thing about being a mom? Whoa.
That's a deep question.
That's a big question.
That is a big question. All right. My favorite thing, I don't know if it's my ultimate favorite thing, but it's what's coming to me now. And I know I love it so much. My favorite thing about being a mom is raising these little humans and watching them grow and develop, and I'm just constantly in awe of like how much they're learning and how their personalities are coming out and how I can foster that and be part of that journey for them. I just think it's the coolest thing. And of course, all of the love and snuggles and the warmth, and I mean, oh my God, that's amazing too. I love all of that. What about you? What's your favorite part of being a mom?
Yeah, I was thinking the other night, I was like, I wish I could like bottle like just like kissing his cheeks right now. Like just like they're so soft. Like I had this thought, I was like, oh my God, he's going to like grow stubble in a decade. And like, they're not going to be, I'm just like, I just want to kiss those soft little cheeks forever. You know, like they're it does fill you with this joy that you like didn't even know was possible. I think, I mean, not to piggyback on your answer, but like to be maybe a little bit more specific about it, just watching the brain develop, like watching how this personality comes out and they come up with things that you just never realize. Like, especially now that like my toddler, who's like almost two, he's communicating with language so much more. And the things he says to me sometimes just blow me away and it cracks me up. Like today, for example, we were looking at his big trucks book. It's like a picture of trucks, like just pictures and pictures of trucks, right? And he spent 5 solid minutes just doing all the different noises of the different tractors. Like,
that's so cute.
I mean, nonstop, but you could see he was like going through it and like understanding it. And like, I was just like, you came out of my body? Like, you have this whole imaginary world. And it's just so fascinating to watch and really, really sweet to watch. But also, yeah, there's that, the snuggle stuff. The snuggles are just really fantastic.
They're so good. They're so fantastic. Well, pivoting to the other part of the question, which is, what is your least favorite part about being a mom? That's a tough one. It's hard to even want to answer that, right? Because as a mom, you want to just be like, it's all amazing and the journey is so wonderful.
That's so funny because I'm like, oh, I know the answer right away.
Well, I think what I would say to that is that boundaries are probably, I would say, my biggest challenge, like keeping boundaries for myself and not getting burned out, especially in this last year. It's been so hard for me with two kids home all the time and working my job and doing the podcast. Like, there are a lot of things I want to do for myself, you know, even beyond like the things I have to do. But I always feel the pull to make them the top priority. And if I don't, then it's like, oh, I feel really bad about that, you know? And so finding a way for me to feel okay about being like, I can't be with you right now. I love you, but I can't be with you right now is a huge challenge for me. And I hate having to do that. And I don't like that, you know, oftentimes parts of myself and what I want to do are sacrificed for that.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, mine is very in a very similar vein. But it's interesting because, like I said, I was just like, I immediately knew what I was going to say, which is, it's like the lack of me time is what is my least favorite thing. And I worked from home independently as a freelancer for 5 years before I had my kids. So I was very used to having a lot of unstructured me time and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I really mourn the loss right now of the, you know, I don't get huge chunks of time where I can pursue my own projects and just sort of, like you said, feel justified in like spending the entire afternoon, you know, making a quilt or something or whatever it is that I want to do. Because, you know, they are my, I'm pregnant still, but, you know, the baby's my priority. The kids are, you know, and you have to, even when you know, it's Corey's day, I still come in for nap time. You know, I guess I don't have to, but I want to. And it's definitely something that I miss and I have, you know, it was something I knew I was going to miss. And I don't think I really truly understood what a big change it was going to be until it happened. That said, I mean, it's not like that for everyone. Lots of people have more childcare than I do.
I was going to say, this is a challenging and atypical year where we're with them constantly.
Yes.
It will be better when there's childcare.
And I do remind myself that, like, this is temporary. Like, I'm not just talking about COVID in this year. I'm talking about, like, you know, they're going to start going to school. They're going to become teenagers. When they're teenagers, I'll probably have plenty of time to quilt because they're going to be like, why are you bothering me, mom? Like, I want to do my stuff, right? So I remind myself this is a season of life.
Yes, and, it is.
You know, my crafts and my gardening and stuff will still be there, but they're not going to, like they say, babies don't keep, right? You're like, look, I'm getting all choked up.
I know.
So
think about those baby snuggles and kisses.
I know. Those cheeks. So I'm just trying to remind myself that, like, it's a season. It's not a permanent thing. And, you know, when it's over, I'll miss it. So,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, on that note, I think we need to take a break.
I know. I need to dab my eyes.
Yeah. And move on to the last few questions. Yes.
Yes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, we're back and we have our last questions. Laura, this one is from Hannah. She says, how long does it take you guys to record an episode?
That's a really good question.
That is a good question.
Because it really, really depends. Like some days we're on and we're just like, bing, bam, boom. We get this out in basically real time. Mm-hmm. And other days, good God, we have so much trouble.
The interruptions can be endless. Like the gardeners. Oh, there's an airplane. Oh, my baby's screaming. Okay, I'll stop. I'll call you back later. And so it's just like, oh my gosh.
The garbage trucks just went by.
Yes.
Well, there's a toddler screaming, mama, mama. Yeah, it's so anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours, right? Or like multiple sessions. Like we have, sometimes we have to like stop and come back later to finish an episode. Yeah. So it really depends. A lot of times we will even like push a day. We'll say like, let's record tomorrow because last night I got no sleep or whatever. And like, we just know it's going to take us a million years to actually get through because we are so low energy. So,
yes. We really have to be flexible and play it by ear.
We really, really do. So, but some days we're on it. We're on it.
Oh, yeah.
Or fire. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. If I have a lot of coffee that day, I'm just like, bada bing, bada boom, and it's all good.
Or Sudafed.
Or Sudafed. too funny. All right. What's our next question?
Okay. This is from, we actually have it from two people. So Iris wrote in and asked, she said, I just had my first baby, and what are some tips on not letting the mom guilt catch up with you? And then we also had Cecilia asking, does the mom guilt ever subside? I feel like I'm not doing enough for my toddler. So we've got two moms, one at the beginning of her journey and one further along. And they're both asking about mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips on mom guilt?
Wow, that is such a good topic because it's so true and so prevalent. I would say for Iris, I would say the thing that helped me the most when I had a baby, a new baby, was joining moms groups. I know Laura and I talk about these mom groups forever, but I joined a couple that were really good and really honest. Like moms who had older kids, toddlers and stuff were on there.
Are we talking about like online mom groups or like in person?
Okay. Yes, yes. Mostly Facebook groups, right?
Yeah, Facebook groups.
There were moms who would talk about things in a just real way. You know, there were moms who would be like, oh, my kid is bothering me so much today and this and that. And everyone would chime in and be like, oh, I have been there. I know what you mean. And just everyone kind of being together and understanding that this shit's hard. It's not always peachy keen. It's not always great. And it's okay to feel this way. It's okay if you aren't a stellar mom. There's one thing on there, right? There's one example. It comes up a lot when people accidentally like drop their babies off the couch or something like that. Oh my God, the mom guilt is huge, right? But I cannot tell you how many times a mom has written in and said, oh my gosh, I accidentally, the baby rolled off the bed and oh my God, I'm so guilty. I've ruined this baby. And everybody chimes in and they're like, I have done that. I've done it too. And everyone's raising their hands and it's like, your baby's going to be fine. People who have experience, they've lived through it and they're down the line and it's no biggie. Hearing that from other moms is what saved me as far as that goes. So I highly recommend finding a group that fits for you. There's a lot of them out there. You won't like all of them. I didn't like all of them. So find one that fits for you and that could be a real lifesaver. What about you, Laura? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think commiserating with other moms, very, very helpful. I think for me, I've done a pretty good job of avoiding a lot of mom guilt. And part of it is like adopting a like DGAF attitude about a lot of things. Like, you know, like just giving yourself the grace to let a lot of things go and understand that there's no right way to raise a child and that you're able to repair things if they go wrong is really important. So like, I think a lot of people think like, oh my God, I, you know, did this one thing. I wasn't able to breastfeed or I yelled at my toddler, right? Like I, or I had to do this work thing and my toddler was crying the whole time. And now the toddler is acting like they don't like me anymore, whatever, right? Repair is all possible in those situations. Like it's not like you, there's no ruining your children with one thing. It's about your consistent showing up and being present and being emotionally available. And so for me, just remembering that like, if I'm trying my best and my best includes being emotionally available and admitting when I've done something wrong, then it's all going to be okay. That's really helped, you know, inoculate me, I feel like, against the mom guilt.
That's really good. Yeah, and it does get easier as your children get older because you get more practice at it. Like to answer Cecilia's question, it doesn't necessarily subside, but you get a thicker skin in a way and you get better at dealing with it. And your kids get older and more verbal. If something happens with Elle now, I can sit down and explain myself. I can talk to her. We can talk it out. We can hug it out, you know, and just move on. But that said, that girl knows how to guilt me. She'll be like, Mommy, when you were working, I missed you so bad. And she does this like, I'm sorry, Elle, I love you, but I'm pretty sure it's fake crying, you know, and she knows. She knows how to get me. And I've been working on my boundaries, too, in the last several years of being like, okay, I am still okay. Like, she's fine. I'm not responsible. responsible for those feelings. We'll work through it. She'll get through it and everything's okay. So I think you can work to deal with it and handle it better. Not that it's necessarily going to go away. What do you think?
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, reading about wry parenting and like gentle parenting, that sort of thing, peaceful parenting, all that stuff really helps diminish the mom guilt, I think, because it is very generous towards the parents, and it's very low. You know, it sounds like, oh, you have to have this parenting philosophy, but it's all very simple in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the, you know, emotional availability and boundaries and stuff like that, right? So it's very simple, and it gives you the grace, right, that things are going to be okay, and that you can sort of have this relationship with your kid without letting the mom guilt catch up. So
definitely.
I'm there for that.
Yeah, me too. So we have one last question. This is from Hannah. Hannah says, do you feel like you love your kids more and more as they age, or does it max out at some point? Laura, answer this for us.
Oh, when he was 30 seconds old, it maxed out and it's all been downhill from I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I probably wouldn't go on record saying it gets, you know, it maxes out. But I'm being honest here in saying that it does not max out. Like, and I'm 2 years in, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely amazing to me how it grows, because you think you can't love them more and more, right? Like, you think, like, this is the most I could love any human being in the whole world. Not all the time. There are some times where you're like, holy shit, kid, right? But like, you still love them, but you're just like, I need some space. But there are those moments where you're like snuggling and they're laughing and you're so connected and you're just like, oh my God, how could I love anyone more? And then, you know, a couple months go by and they have this new skill and they tell you about something and you're just like so amazed at how they're developing and you're just like, holy shit, I do love you more. So far I have to say it does not max out. Mm-hmm. It's cumulative, and that's like one of the main reasons people have kids, right? It has to be, because it just like, it's this love bomb. Mm-hmm. It just feels so good. So how about
so
you, Shauna?
So good. Yeah, it's sometimes I experience the love in different ways. Like, for example, when Elle was born, I had that experience about 2 or 3 hours after I'd come out of my grogginess, where she was lying in her little bassinet and Steve had run out and I was alone in the room with her. And all of a sudden it was like someone literally opened my heart up and every emotion of love I ever in the universe just like flooded into my heart. And I was just sobbing with like, oh my God, I love this little baby so, so much. And it was just an amazing experience. And so I can't say I always feel like that exactly, because, you know, I
you
had
can't
a lot
function
of.
If you
yeah,
do.
I wouldn't be able to function. And I don't think she would turn out like a real healthy person. But, you know, I was also had a ton of postpartum hormones in me and everything like that. But as time has gone on with both of my girls, just like you said, it becomes like a deeper love, a more complex love. You watch them learn and grow. And sometimes the pride I feel in my kids, like Elle, because she's a little bit older, like the things she'll tell me she's learned or she does, I'm just like swell with pride. And I think that's a kind of love too. Mm-hmm. So you'll go through these different cycles of love type feelings. And it's just awesome. I have almost 5-year-old now. And I'm like, oh yeah, definitely love her just as much, if not more, than the day she was born.
Oh, so sweet. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Love bombs these little kiddos.
Yeah, they really are. Well, on that note, I think that's it for our bonus episode, Laura.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Listeners, if you want to chime in on anything we talked about, you know we want to hear from you. And if you have any other check in the inbox questions, send them our way. We're going to answer them next time we do this segment. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can include a voice memo in that email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, join our Facebook community group. It's a private group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, answer the 2 membership questions so I can make sure you're not a robot, and then I will send you through to the amazing community we have going on in there, and you can join in on all the awesome discussions and ask some more questions of the other parents in the group.
Yes, absolutely. And if you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.